Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit.
All right, Snake Pit, brought to you by...
And now, with something complete...
American Leak Detection.
Thank you very much. So, over the weekend... Me and my three buddies made the trip out west to San Francisco, California. Not just to go see the city by the bay, but we were out there specifically for one reason and one reason only. That was to see the concerts that were being dubbed as Grateful Dead 60, the 60-year anniversary of the first shows from the Grateful Dead.
You saw shows one and two of three.
One and two. Went out there Friday, saw Friday and Saturday. Could not make the Sunday extravaganza, but made the trek out there for the first two shows. And I will say this. So you felt like that you were being kind of, you felt like you were in the middle of something, I don't want to say important, but meaningful because of the number that was thrown out there. And also because there are two guys left from the original lineup. Mickey Hart, the drummer, one of the drummers, and Bob Weir, of course, who was the co-frontman, if you want to call him that, of the Dead forever before Jerry Garcia died back in the mid-90s. And you kind of got the sense as you were out there that I don't want to say this is it for those guys, but it might have been. I don't know. They haven't made any announcements. They stopped touring full on.
I think they'll probably do another Sphere thing next year.
Well, that's the thing is that they've done the Sphere the last couple of years, but they don't tour. They don't go around.
Right.
So it's like a stationary type thing. But this,
John Mayer now carries the torch more or less. So, I mean...
Well, hold on to that thought.
Can it continue without Weir and the other guy?
Yeah, hold on to that thought. So it's at Golden Gate Park. And like right now, Golden Gate Park this weekend is housing the Outside Lands Festival. Next weekend, it's a Zach Bryan, Turnpike Troubadours, Kings of Leon show. Like this park.
You going to that one?
This is what they, yeah. This is what they do. They host these huge events. The Dead played there for their 10-year anniversary. They played there countless times. It's right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury, the legendary place where they grew up, basically. And where they got their start in music. So there was a lot of good vibes and good feelings surrounding the show.
How many people did they cram into that park?
Man, I've heard varying reports, but like you would be stunned at the overhead shots that emanated from that area. It looks like there's 70,000. I don't even know. It is so... It didn't feel like it.
Wow.
Like it felt like we were in the middle of something intimate, semi, but at the same time, the overhead shots of Golden Gate Park this weekend were staggering. My friends were watching it on their TV because they were streaming it live, and they kept sending me pictures, and I'm like, good Lord, it didn't feel like it was that crowded again. Like I've had plenty of room to move around and things like that, but it was nuts. How many people actually ended up there? And
I don't understand how they would lay that thing out, because whenever I've been there, it feels like a series of almost like Central Park, which I suppose you could do something like that as well. But there are little sub areas inside it that doesn't seem like you could just have mass huge crowds. They got that Japanese tea garden over here.
Don't
they have a zoo over here? And
yeah.
Various things.
They do. So that's what, you know, like the overhead shot looked like. I mean,
that,
it's...
Is that Kezar? Or no?
No. It's not Kezar. That's okay. A totally different spot.
Okay.
But it's just wall to... I don't know if you see it over there, Dave. It's just wall to wall people.
Yeah, I'm looking and I didn't see that one. But yeah, so you have to wander through the woods to get to... The field where they have the stage?
To a certain degree. There are roads in and through the park. I mean, it's tough to get to. They shut down a lot of the streets to get to the actual park.
Did you use some BART?
No. We had a bus, not that for us, but for like the hotel that provided a bus to get us to the spot. But so they had, and I know you guys don't know much about Billy Strings. He's like the new guitar slinger on the planet. young kid that is just an absolute wizard at the guitar, and the Dead have kind of adopted him. He played at Dickie's not too long ago. Billy Strings did. He's huge. He's really, really big in those circles. And then night two, Sturgill Simpson opened up. And as my buddy said, after his hour and a half set, he goes, "That's the best rock and roll show I've seen in 10 years. And it was by a guy that's labeled as country." Like, it is a full on rock and roll bonanza, from Sturgill. They both got up there and played with him, during the Dead set as well. They've adopted those two guys. As weird as it sounds, a guy that's kind of bluegrass and Billy Strings and a guy that is, again, air quote country and Sturgill, that's their guys. And it's so weird that they've fostered their career more than anybody else is out there. I mean, and those two guys are obsessed with the Dead. They are obsessed. They know everything about the band and their music and all that good stuff. But Dave, you mentioned, so this is Dead and Company. They've been doing this now for 10 years. The band itself, the original core guys, they played their last show together in 2015 in Chicago. Okay? So, it was called the Fare Thee Well Tours. They played three sold-out shows at Soldier Field in Chicago. Well, in 2011, John Mayer, who had already had established himself as one of the big pop artists of the previous decade, sold millions and millions of records. You know, he's listed as one of the top guitar players in Rolling Stone's list of best guitar players ever. Like, Mayer's on that list, but he took that path of pop singer and...
to get laid.
It helped, right? Probably quite a bit. But he's a guitar slinger. And so in 2011, this sounds like a story that's not even real. In 2011, he's driving around in his car listening to Pandora. Listening to the Neil Young channel on Pandora. And as he's driving around, a song comes on and he looks down at the radio and he was like, "The Grateful Dead?" And he was blown away by what he heard. Every song that he hears, he said, he would think of it, "How can I play this on the guitar?" And he heard this song. This is Althea. And he pulled over because he felt like, I don't even know what this guy's doing. And this is Jerry Garcia playing guitar. And Jerry Garcia singing this song as well, which you'll hear. Crank it up, Glenn. What are you doing? So... he's like, oh my God, I got to figure this out. So he tries to figure it out, and then he becomes obsessed. Again, this is 2011 with the entire catalog of the Grateful Dead.
So and he had never really listened before.
No,
like
no.
He knew Touch of Grey or something.
He didn't know any of it. Like, this was the first entree into it. And so he starts learning all this music from the Dead. Well, fast forward to 2015. He's never met any of them. He's never talked with anybody about this like before. He just became a huge fan. The Dead announced their final shows at Soldier Field in 2015. He goes online and registers for tickets like a fan. Like, I want to go to this. I want to see this band. Mm-hmm. They hadn't played since 2009. And so he signs up to get his little wristband. He doesn't go through the proper celebrity channels or anything. He just signs up and is like, I want to go see this. So... in the meantime, there is a gap between Craig Ferguson hosting the late night show and James Corden. There's a 3-week gap. And the producers at CBS ask him if he would like to fill in for like 3 shows as the host because Mayer was such a big pop star and just well known to everybody. And he was like, yeah. And he's super personable guy and all that. And so he's like, I'd love to do that. So as he's rehearsing for this, one of the producers, a guy named Don Wass, says, hey man, you're not going to believe this. I know you're really into the Dead. Bob Weir is here and at my studio. Would you like to meet him? And he's like, oh my God, I'll be there in 5 seconds. Shows up at the studio, introduces himself to Bob Weir, and gets Bob Weir to come on the show to promote this Fare Thee Well concert, the final show of the Dead, and starts telling him this story about, I'm obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with your music, all of it. And he's like, Bob Weir goes, you want to play? And so they grab their guitars and start jamming. And they play for a couple hours before the producers of the show, the talk show, are like, dude, we got to work. Let's go. So Bob Weir agrees to come on the show, and they work up Althea, that song you just heard. And so here is the first time these two played together on the Late Late Show that he hosted.
Oh, sorry. I want to thank my guests, Bob Saget, Mary Lynn Rieskup, and Bob Weir, who's going to play us out.
Indeed.
So that's Mayer playing lead. Bob's playing slide. Bob is 67 years old here, okay? Mayer's 37. Same birthday, by the way.
Wow. I told Althea I was...
So if you watch this video, you see Mayer, like, fanboying all over him. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm getting to do this. So after this, again, they're playing the final show ever in a couple of months in Chicago. Well, Mayer won't let it go, and Bob Weir is like, that was awesome, dude. And so they get this idea that it's the germ of forming Dead & Company. And so as he's rehearsing for these final shows, he's got Mayer in the back of his mind of, I want to play with this guy. I want to keep this thing going with this dude. And Mayer's like, I am all in. And so after the Chicago shows, they immerse themselves together with the other ringers that are in the band. They still had their two drummers and Bill Kreutzmann and Mickey Hart, and then Bob Weir, and then him. And they've got a bass player from the Allman Brothers, and they form this band, and they're like, we're going to play a show. And so they announce they're going to play a show 6 months after the final Fare Thee Well shows. And so all of that led to now John Mayer being, I don't want to say he is the band, because Bob Weir was still in the band, but he's the band. Bob Weir is 77 and is not firing on all cylinders at all. And John Mayer now, this is his life.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did he do with the rest of his career?
I don't know. Like, every now and then he'll have a thing that he goes out, but this is what he does. He now houses the Grateful Dead. And so all that Althea stuff, this is now them playing Althea the other night. This is Dead & Company. With John now singing. He sings all the Jerry parts. And plays all the Jerry parts.
Told Althea I was feeling.
And it's awesome, dude. Like, the band is as good as it's ever been.
I can smell the weed through the radio right now.
And so now...
It's a weird thing, though, because it's like the boat question, right? If you change out pieces of wood... If you keep changing out pieces of the boat, is it the same boat? Because it sounds like John Mayer will be sort of restaffing this... And it's sort of the Grateful Dead, but it's also sort of a cover band.
It's a full-on cover band.
Now it's Jam Band,
dude,
Menudo.
This is the biggest rock and roll experiment that anyone has ever seen.
Yeah.
Because now he is so invested in this, and he's such a part of it. Rumors say that he owns 51% of it now. Like, he bought, you know, over half the band to keep it going. But now he says, I feel a responsibility to keep this thing going.
I feel a responsibility.
And I can't, he's like, I have dreams about being in my 70s.
To make a ton of money.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like, I have, but he's already so rich, it doesn't matter.
No, you're
he
right, you're right. It's just funny to couch it as, I have to do this. The people need me.
They demand
to play in front of 100,000 people and all that. But I mean, think about it. It is a glorified cover band. And these two guys that are left are on their way out.
Yeah.
And so...
But it's a blessing, like you have our blessing.
Yeah.
We want you to do this. We're going to profit as well when you do this.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure they'll retain a percentage of it or whatever. But now Are people just going, because he's so entrenched in the family, and the rest of the guys are too, that were never in the band before, are they going to be able to say, all right, we're going to go play, you know, American Airlines Center, and then Soldier Field, and
after,
then Levi's Stadium,
Bob Weir after retires, they're gone. Yeah, or dies.
Like, yes, like, is this, and he's going to retire. He's got very little left, dude. I mean, it was tough to watch Bob Weir. They cover it all up very well. They sing, you know, harmonies constantly with him to help his voice out. But it's such a weird rock and roll experiment that I think we're going to see. This may be the only thing you could ever do. The only act you could ever have translate to a full-on cover band and play in front of 70,000 people. That's where we're at. But the 2 days that we were there were spectacular. I mean, the weather was awesome. It was cold, hoodie weather. Everything about it was so first class.
Did you wear your Cal hoodie?
I did. The second night I wore my Cal hoodie. I got a lot of Go Bears. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Go Bears. And I did issue the line when the guy was like, a guy passed me. He was like, yo, Cal. He's like, when were you there? I was like, dude, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there last year.
Finishing up my doctorate.
Yes. At the science building at the top of the hill.
Yes. Working on the new vaxes.
But yeah, it was a pretty magical experience. It was a very magical experience that we had. You felt like you were part of something special, and it was, you know, 6 hours of music, and people were into it from beginning to end. It was awesome, but I couldn't get that out of my mind. Like, what am I watching here?
Yeah. Did you see anybody having a bad trip?
No, I didn't. And like, everyone was perfect. But like the plane we took, I mean, a flight left at 8:30 in the morning from Dallas.
All tie-dyed?
All Grateful Dead people. Like, everyone was going out there. Like, the San Francisco mayor got out there to say hello to everybody, you know, before the show. And I'm like, dude, everyone I've met at this show, you saw the Harvey Milk terminal pictures. Don't knock it.
Michael Trey.
Are from somewhere else. Like, San Francisco probably made up 25% of the crowd, but people descended from everywhere to come see the show.
Charter 747s from everywhere. Huh?
It was awesome, dude.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Way to go.
Yeah.